Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts on Recovery, broadcasting to you today from the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower in Midtown Atlanta, overlooking the majestic Buckhead skyline, where the day is absolutely magnificent. The Chamber of Commerce has called, and they said they want to can it. And this is what we want to present to the world, so that we can be as big as Los Angeles or Tokyo or Cairo, which we don't want. At any rate, it's a great day, and it's a great day to be alive. We're doing very well on a number of things, and we hope that you are as well. And as I begin the program, I would like to do so with a prayer. We do this quite often, and this is when despair makes you feel hopeless. But when you have those kind of feelings, just know that God is still there, regardless of how you feel. The reality is that He is there, and that He has not gone away. Neither will He leave you or forsake you. With this in mind, after going through some really tough times, here's a prayer for renewed hope. Father, my season of darkness is passing. I sense that my soul-weary depression is lifting, that despair will no longer be my portion in life. My painful experience is not finished yet, not quite, but like the tide that inevitably recedes, leaving a great white expanse of clean, solid sand, the same is true for my soul. My days were filled with gloom for so long that I never thought joy would return to me. But it has, with the best years yet to come. Like the relentless surge of the tides, new life and new hope are returning to my soul. You assured me that this would happen, comforting me with promises from your word. But pain clouded my soul with despair. Despite my ennui, in the depth of my despair, no matter how deep my pit became, you were there within me, providing nourishment, replenishing my starved spirit with hope. It was all that I had, and it wasn't much, but it was enough to sustain me through the night. Without your gentle hand upon my life, I'm certain there would be nothing left. But because you are there, I am a better person, far more resilient, caring, and compassionate. Now, as joy and bounty return, help me to be ever mindful that you are always by my side in times of plenty and in times of lean, in times of joy and in times of dread, reminding me that my days are numbered by you. I think we have a hard time, most of us, just kind of living in the moment and realizing who we are and what we're to do and what's going on. And yet this prayer is exactly how I felt many, many times. So with this in mind, let me continue. And as I'm doing so, let me say, Stacey, are you there?
I am.
Well, this is a prayer that we all of us in our little group can utter at one time or another, isn't it? I mean, and certainly now there's been just kind of a dark period of where things have just not gone the way that we wanted, anticipated, or expected. And yet at the same time, God is there, and he's doing what he wants to with our situations. I know that you even had to go to the hospital last night. Tell me what's going on. We're going to just go back and forth here a little bit.
Well, I have had 10 heart attacks. So obviously stress is not good for me. And I have been under a tremendous amount of stress during the last 6 weeks. And I have learned what grace is. I may have been able to regurgitate an explanation, but it's only God's grace that has seen me through this. And it seems like there's one crisis after another after another. And normally I would be cussing and screaming and raising Cain with people and want to snatch their lungs out. And I haven't done that, and apparently I've internalized a lot of it, or my stress level wouldn't be what it is, but I didn't have a heart attack and don't intend to. One thing that we forget is that, yeah, Satan is an enemy and he can throw a lot at us, but as Christians, we are covered by the blood of Jesus. And Robert McGee told me this many, many years ago when I was having a swarm of problems. One or two things I can handle. When this whole thing falls apart, I have nowhere to go except to God. And he did see me through then. He's seeing me through now. Not the way I would like, that's for sure. But I have seen miracles. I've seen his grace. And I have come to have his grace as mine now, not just something I would read about and think about, but it was applied to my life. And I'm having to do that as we speak because other issues have popped up. And I just know that he will see me through. He hasn't, his word promises that he hasn't brought me this far without seeing me through.
You know, it's interesting. My experience in life is that it's the little things, a number of little things can be more vexatious and more troublesome to our walk with the Lord, to our peace, to joy, to everything else, than something that is clearly out of the box and something that we cannot control.
Right.
It's easier to trust the God. It's easier to trust the Lord with one big thing than it is the car doesn't start in the morning and you got kids to take to school. You are, well, the one that pops out in my mind the most, to be honest with you, is just, you know, This woman, when we had the ice storm a couple of months ago, and here in Atlanta, and people were stuck all night, and she had an infant, and ran out of gas, and was on the perimeter highway, and could move, and she ran out of formula and diapers. Now, that's a serious thing. And that's something, where it's a lot easier, I think. Of course, I don't know this for sure, but this is just my opinion, to really be able to put your hands in the Lord's when you have that than, when the coffee maker breaks and you don't have a cup of coffee and you go to put some money in the bank and find out that it doesn't, that your thing doesn't work, and you can't find something that you put away in a special place just to make sure you wouldn't lose it, and then you forgot where you put it. Now, you know, and I suspect that everybody that's listening has had that experience. I know that I have. Where in the world did I put that? I know that I put it someplace that you know, to do so just to make sure that I couldn't, didn't forget it or anything else. And yet, you know, those are the things that make you want to, somebody cutting you out in traffic and, you know, telling you that you're number one with the finger that God gave them for something else. And, you know, those are the things that just rob us so quickly and put us in a situation that is so difficult. You know, that's the way I see it anyway.
Oh, I agree. I absolutely agree.
So as we're doing this, what are we looking at as far as when you get in a situation like that and everything is just topsy-turvy? Some of it, you know, people have a, you know, I mean, we have a tendency, I think, to assume that, well, or a lot of people do anyway, that, you know, that they're under some kind of satanic attack most of the time. It's really just that, you know, we haven't really done the things necessary to make everything work.
Robert,
but
McKee
that's the way
says
that one works.
It's life. We give Satan too much credit. It's just life.
Yes. Well, talk about that a little bit more.
Well, I have a tendency to think that, and was just talking about it with him one day, and he said, well, we have a tendency to give Satan way more credit than he's due. It's just life, and you have to learn to deal with these things, or you're going to make yourself really miserable.
And you know, that's the thing. It's the little things, and they rob us of and make our lives miserable without value for some things that we really have a hard time even dealing with. I was talking with another friend of mine a little bit earlier, and she has to give a presentation for something tomorrow. And it's about stuff that she doesn't really know. I mean, she has an hour talk, and she knows the material that she's supposed to cover for about 45 minutes of it, but there's a section that she's clueless, and she's having to try and muster all of the resources that she can to just learn about some things that, you know, that are really difficult. She called me and asked me about them, and you know, it has to do with, you know, with blogging and writing devotionals. So it's a subject matter that I know about because I, you know, have a blog, Pushing Jesus, that I've written 1,400 blog entries for it. I mean, and they average about 350 words a piece. That's a lot of material. And I've been doing it for about 7 years, maybe not quite that long, 5.5 to 6 years. And, you know, I started out doing it, and when I just did it because I was supposed to. I knew I was supposed to. And yet I'd write something that was really substantive, and there would be four people that would read the blog. And, you know, which I felt discouraged for a long time because I said, well, you know, there's no response. And yet, you know, when I look back now, there have been over 80,000 people that have read it in a total of 140 different countries in the world. I'd be willing to bet that there aren't a whole lot of people that have had anything that they've ever written that's been read in 140 different countries in the world. You know, and I never put not even a cent into it, not one penny, because I didn't have it. But what I did have was substance, some things of value that help wounded Christian people heal from some of the abusive situations that they've had. So, you know, you just keep doing the next right thing time after time after time after time, even though it's thankless at times, and you're often thankless, frequently thankless. And, you know, it'll end up into something. And let me give you an example. Oswald Chambers, you know who he is. You there?
Oh, I'm here. He's one of my favorites.
Well, Oswald Chambers, you know, for people who don't know, wrote, I mean, there's a devotional that he wrote called My Utmost for His Highest, and it's one of the two or three most popular ones of all time. Well, he was a young preacher in Alexandria, Egypt, working for the YMCA nearly a century ago, maybe 90 years ago, and preaching, and he was really good. He was married and young and teaching missionaries, and he got sick from pneumonia and died. And as he was dying, and he knew he was dying, he was 26 years old. He wept, and he told his wife, "I have never done anything of value for the Lord. Nothing." And then he died. She took his lectures and took different sections from them and created the devotional, My Utmost for His Highest, and it has been read and blessed hundreds of millions of people for nearly a century, and continues to. It's by far the best devotional I've ever read. By far, it's the only one I ever use, because when I use it, I never get to the end of the depth of wisdom that is there. And so here's a guy. He didn't know what he was doing. He didn't know what he had. You know, during his lifetime, he blessed a few people and died young, and thought that he had done nothing of value, and yet that wasn't true. So we don't know, and we don't know what our things do. Here we are, talking on the radio, and I do another political show, Jack Watts Live, on Monday afternoons, and it's about American exceptionalism and what is happening to our nation that has literally ripped the soul, the heart, and the values straight out of the American people to where we're adrift and really in trouble. And I do it also because people are fed news stories that that aren't true and that are misleading, and there is very little that is inspiring. I don't know who this blesses. I don't know what value it is. I just know I'm supposed to do it, just like I'm supposed to do this. So you just do what you're supposed to do. That's all you can do. It's all you can control. Outcome of what you do is in the hands of the Lord, period.
Exactly.
It's the Holy Spirit that does this. It isn't, it isn't us. Robert's more eloquent than I am. But when we get on here and we talk about these things, most of the time, we don't know who's even hearing us or where it's blessing us, but we do know that this is what we're supposed to do, and we continue to do it, and that really is all you can do. The outcome is in, it's in the Lord's hands, and when we get into the position that we believe that we are responsible for the outcome or that we can control the outcome, that's where we get into most trouble, because we think that we are things that we're not, and we end up failing more often than not. So with all of that, it makes it to where it's kind of like, okay, we look at our little circumstances, never having a clue as to what the outcome of our day will be, nor that we even have it. I mean, you know, our days are numbered by the Lord and not by us. And so what do? We just do the best we can and leave it in His hands. And that's literally our purpose in life. Any other purpose doesn't work. It just doesn't. It would be nice, you know, it's almost kind of like, well, you know, I wish the Lord had kind of let me know what's going on and, you know, and consult me. But so far, the Holy Spirit has not consulted me about the direction of the universe. I have a lot of great ideas in my mind, you know, but when you think about it, it's, and you're a mom, I'm a dad, most of the people listening are parents. Two-year-olds always have the right answers, and they're very willful. And, you know, sometimes it can be irritating, but mostly it's cute that they know what they're doing, and, you know, they want to control everything at two. And I think that a lot of times that we end up being like that with the Lord, and, you know, and he just kind of laughs at us a little bit. And our childishness is, I hope, cute to him at times. I'm sure it's vexatious, but mostly just kind of cute and everything. At any rate, tell people where they can get our materials and what we're doing.
They can go to our website, which is www.mcgeeandme.net, and is spelled out. They also can call 800-460-4673, and I'll be glad to assist.
And they can also go
to Facebook.
And like our page, the Search for Significance, we put stuff up there every day, and there are at least 500 people that take a look at our Facebook page, our fan page, every day. Sometimes as many as 1,000. And, you know, a lot of people, instead of coming to our website, go to Amazon, to buy the materials, and that's fine. They can save a couple bucks probably if they come to ours, but, you know, Amazon's fine, and we're happy for them to do it. What we really want is for them to get help. And,
exactly.
And we have things there that, the Search for Significance, which has blessed millions, 3 million people have bought it. We have Breaking the Cycle. Well, tell them like our top 5 or 6 products and what they do. And let's just, you know, give ourselves a little commercial here in the next minute because we're just about out of time. Stacy?
Yes. We have wonderful materials for codependency. We have wonderful materials for alcohol and drug abuse. We have very specific resources for people with eating disorders and issues with fathers being absent physically or mentally from the home. Any type of family problem, we have a resource for.
Well, and we also have something for, you know, for girls that have been sexually abused. Boys too, I suppose, but it's mostly, Shelter from the Storm. It's a fabulous product, to help people regain their souls after an abuse that, you know, is certain to, to adversely impact their lives. And, you know, these materials are tremendous. We have a prayer book, a lot of other things. So, I mean, it's a place where counselors and Sunday school teachers and pastors can get Christ-centered, solid materials to help their people. This isn't drivel. This stuff really works, and it's, you know,
it's tried and true.
It stood the test of time, and you know that is what people need in this really hurting time in American history. So at any rate, we're out of time now. So you know this, you know, let me just say, you know, thank you, Stacy, for you know telling us what's going on with you, and for the people out there, God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. Good night.
Good night.